It's all a bit different today, guys. I'm going to put this one down. And grown-ups, I'm going to ask that you also can join in if you'd like. If you do want to make a Christingle, which is what we're doing, there's some packs at the end here. You're welcome to join in with those. I'm just going to get myself central. Right. Kids, are you ready? Yeah? Okay. So good morning. Oh, no, wait. I'll wait. So you've got a bit of time, Roger, because there's a little bit of a preach before we get into the actual making. So we have got some time. It's all a straw. Okay. So if you don't know what a Christingle is, it's this here. You will not find it in the Bible, but that doesn't mean we can't talk about it. Okay, so this is not a biblical thing. This is a historic thing. Actually, some bishop in Moravia hundreds and hundreds of years ago thought it was a really good idea to teach children about the gospel using symbols, because kids love to learn with things they can do and see rather than just taking it in with hearing. And then in the late 60s, the Children's Society took it on and adopted it and used it to raise money for children who were impoverished. So a bit like we're raising money for Bulgaria, the Children's Society were raising money for children who were struggling. And they taught about the gospel using this old traditional orange and some sweeties and candle and ribbon. So, kids, I'm going to ask a couple of questions before we get... we're making them already. Okay, we're just going. It's just happening. I was going to do it in an order, but you just go for it. No, it's fine. Okay, maybe the grown-ups can help me. Is there anything you're looking forward to over Christmas? Go on, Abby. Family, yeah. Food, presents, Christmas lights, all of these things. We get really excited about them from the beginning of December. Some people in November, but I'm okay from it from the beginning of December. Otherwise, it's a bit early. So we all get really excited. But what we're excited about sometimes is things that we can't see, things that we have hope for. And I was trying to liken it to... when you're waiting for, do you want to come and help me, Jed? Help, when you're waiting for good news. So it's not tangible, but you know it's coming and it's going to be great. Well, that's a bit like what Christmas is like. It's waiting for something with hope and expectation. And this orange and sweeties and ribbon is a symbol of how we can wait for Christmas with hope and expectation. So let's get in the word, because that's really where we need to be, okay? There was a prophet who... 700 years or so before Jesus was born, his name was Isaiah, and he said some famous words that get said a lot around Christmas time because they're really, really important. And the context is that God's people had been making some mistakes. They weren't living by God's rules and laws. They'd been invaded, they were struggling, they were in the depths of despair, really. It was all a bit dark. And Isaiah said... at Isaiah 9, 2 and 6 to 7, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. So God's people who were living were in the darkness. And he sent this promise that Isaiah gave as a prophecy. And that promise, kids, you're going to have to listen here because I'm going to ask you a question. There was a child... a light, a savior. Who are we talking about? Go, tell me. That's right, we were talking about Jesus. Jesus is who Isaiah was telling us about hundreds and hundreds of years before he came. So when Isaiah says the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, that light was the promise. It was never a real physical light. It's a light brighter than any light the world has ever or will ever see. And God's promise of Jesus, the light, was his love for us. It was his promise to his people saying, guys, I haven't forgotten you. I'm going to send someone who's going to make this all good. And so when they heard that promise, they started to wait. I was going to ask everyone to wait to make their Christingle, to sort of illustrate the waiting, but we're ahead of the game. No, it's fine. The Israelites waited and waited and waited for generations, guys. It wasn't just like 10 minutes. It was generations of waiting. And they didn't forget what they were waiting for. They knew and they were focused the whole time. And they knew that what they were waiting for was something, someone special. And they were expectant and hopeful, and it kept them going through that time of darkness. And then we read in John 1, verses 1 to 5 and verse 9. It's one of my favorite passages, actually. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was come into the world. So finally, I was going to say, let's do Christingle making. But that's okay. Finally, we will explain the Christingle, and Roger can make it with me in time. Thank you. The Christingle is a picture of God's promise. It might look like a simple orange with... Can you sit down for me? Just thank you. It's fine. It's a picture. It's a symbol. Okay, like I said, it's not in the Bible, but it helps explain to our youngest people and people who don't yet know Jesus the best story. Okay? So we've got this orange. What shape is this orange, kids? Round. What? Yes! What does it remind you of? What else is big and round? The earth. That's right. So this is representative of God's world, our world, and it's the world that he created in the beginning. In that passage in John when he said the Word created the world, this is what we're talking about. When you look around, you might see your world as just your small world, but also we've got nature, the sun. Someone else said the sun down here was round, the moon, the seasons, light, water, flowers, animals, all of these things that we sometimes forget are God's creation, and they are beautiful, and he said they were good. But sometimes we look around and we forget all those amazing things, and we look at people who are lonely, people who are sad, dark things, the bad things in the news, and we forget that God's world, as he intended it, was very different to the world that we now live in, okay? So we have to remember that the world God gave us is not the world we live in now. It's changed. But it reminds us of the world that he created and that he planned and that he eventually wants to bring us all back to. And he wants to do it with this representative. I've got the best ribbon. Everyone else has got tape. This red ribbon that you're going to wrap around your orange, what does red make you think of? Love. Do that one in a minute. Love. And hearts, okay? This red ribbon that goes around your orange is God's love wrapping around the world and everybody in it. And it isn't just, it goes around and around forever. You've made one here, it's beautiful. That love just encircles the world. And it's not for just one type of person. It's for everybody. It's for whether you're young, old, wherever you came from, what you look like, whatever your job is. And the most important bit, and Mark said it earlier in the year, is there are two kinds of people in the world. There's the kind of people that know God and he loves, and then there's the people that don't know God and he loves. And God's love is for every single one of us. And when we think about God's love and this bright red, I think it was Triumph said it. What else does red remind you of that's not quite so fun? Fire. What else? Blood. That's right. This red ribbon that is God's love also is representative of the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood that was shed on the cross so that we, as mere mortals and sinners, could be brought back to God and have a close relationship with him. It reminds us of the blood of Jesus that washes us clean if we accept him as our savior. And it reminds us of the blood that forgives the sins of everybody should they choose to choose Jesus as their savior. Jesus' blood was shed because God loves us so much. And it's not a little passing, I love you. And it's not a cozy red heart or a little pen heart that you might draw at the end of a card. This love is marked by action, and the biggest action ever of love. And it's that God, for one reason only, loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. And that's that famous John 3:16, which isn't up there. And if anyone hasn't eaten all their sweeties, that's the next bit we're going to get to. Oh, there. So the sweeties in your Christingle, and there are four of them, four little posts. These four posts also represent the all the world aroundness. We've got north, east, south, and west. God's love and blessing is for everybody on earth. They remind us not of just sweets and food, but they think about the blessings that God puts on us. So your home, your family, your things that you're really good at, you know, your strengths that are a blessing in your life. These are all things that God has bestowed on us, and they are a gift. And the best thing about gifts is that you receive them. You get given them, right? God gave Jesus as a gift, and Jesus gave everything as a free gift. So the best gift in the world was Jesus and what he did for us when he died on the cross. The best thing about it is that you don't need to do anything. We didn't need to do anything for him to do that for us. He did it 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross, willingly, knowing what it was going to be like, because he loved every single one of us here. And like I say, all of the people that don't even yet know him. So when you think about this red ribbon, don't just think of love as a cozy, wonderful thing. Think of it as the miracle that is knowing you're going to your death because you love somebody so much. Abby's given me a big smile. That love is like no other to lay your life down for your friends. It's what Jesus did for us. A few weeks back, our kids, Mark mentioned it earlier, did a bake sale, and we raised hundreds and hundreds of pounds for Bulgaria. And I was so proud of them because we were working on using what you have for God, okay? And that was action, wasn't it? You guys bought in biscuits and cookies and cakes, and you gave of your time, you gave of your love and your ingredients and your parents' help, and you bought them all in and you raised hundreds of pounds for those children in Bulgaria. And I'm so, so proud of you. But you were giving. You were showing God's love in action. And that's the wonderful thing about gifts. We are asked by God to not just keep our blessings for ourselves. You didn't bake the biscuits and eat them all yourself. No. We don't have our blessings, whether it's your voice for worship, whether it's your heart for the homeless, whatever it is that you have been blessed with, ministry, wisdom, you don't keep it for yourself. You have to go out into the world and be generous with the gift that you have been given. Touch the lives of everyone you meet. Love people around you. Be kind to them. Love on them. Because we've just heard that God's love was marked by action. Our love has to be marked by action. We can't just sit in church hoping everyone's going to come. We have to go out and act with the love that Jesus has bestowed on us. So, the amazing thing about light, your candle, which is coming in just a minute. Oh, now. The candle is coming next. I'm ahead of myself. This candle that you've got, which sadly we can't light, which is a bit of a shame, hold on, is the prophecy of Isaiah It's the symbol of Jesus, okay? We can't light it, but you can imagine that we would light this candle. It casts out darkness. It is the opposite of darkness. Jesus came to wipe out the darkness in the world. He came to earth as a tiny, helpless baby born under a star, surrounded by ordinary folk like we are. There was no special, he didn't arrive a king. He arrived a baby as a human. And when he was born, that moment is when the light broke into the darkness. Remember what Jesus John said, is that Jesus was the light that came. The word Jesus became flesh, and then he lived among us. And the miracle is that darkness cannot overcome light. It can't. Light will always overcome the darkness. And even though you look around and you see a world that is like the Israelites, but slightly different, it's broken, it's sad, it's dark, it's worry and anxiety, all of those things are around you. When you know Jesus as your savior, that light will shine and it will cast out those dark things. And where I want you to think about what that means for you today. Kids, what does it mean for you today to be light and bright and shining? What does it mean? Yeah. Yeah, kind and grateful. All of these things, when you guys go into school or into your clubs, if you don't go to school, into your place where you go in the world, when you bring Jesus's light, you shine light in the darkness. When our youth go out and they act with integrity in situations where maybe it's a bit tricky for them, they shine light in their dark situations. When we go out as our grown-ups and we bring peace to a tricky situation or patience to somebody who's quite tricky or trying, when we bring calm to a situation that is stressful, we bring Jesus into that situation. And I didn't put it on a slide because it came to me this morning. Jesus came in to be the light of the world, but he also said at Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. So this candle is about Jesus, but if we also think of it as being about us, we can also go and shine a light. And when you shine a light and you imagine when we start, if I was allowed to light my candle, I would have a little match and it would be a tiny, tiny flame over here and I would light it. And then I might take it to Sadie and Octavia and all these kids down here and I might let them light their candle. And then if I took it round to every single one of you and we lit your candle, very quickly this room would be ablaze with candles alight. And very quickly that can then spread and it becomes like a fire. That idea is what it is to go and spread the good news about Jesus. Because it just takes one little flame going into a room, going into a workplace, going into a community, going into a friendship group, going into a relationship, whatever it is. If you bring Jesus's light, you can catch light with somebody else. And before you know it, you have a body of people alight for him and knowing him as savior. Before I get worship team back up, which isn't just yet, but it's coming, giving you a warning. there's that point I said at the beginning about going into Christmas, expectant and hopeful. Jesus came as a baby, and we celebrate that one moment, that birth, and it is really a special, special day. But we don't just stop there. He didn't come a baby and stay a baby. He came a baby with a great future. He grew up. He had his ministry. He revealed himself as Messiah. And then he died on the cross and rose again. So while we celebrate Christmas, this baby being born to Mary, and it's the most beautiful story, as his followers, what we also want to look is ahead at the rest of his life. Because the bit that where he died for us is the part of the story we need to share to other people. Because people who don't know Jesus know he came and they know he was born. But we want them to know he came for them, died for them. That's the most important bit about his story. And we also need to look ahead and think, what about when he's coming back? Because he promised he was coming back. If the worship team could come back as well, that would be really good if they're coming. Jürgen, are we doing another song? Yeah, let's go. Let's do another song. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll keep talking. When we wait for that moment, we don't wait twiddling our thumbs. Because the Israelites didn't forget about Messiah. They didn't forget about Jesus. They spoke about him. They shared about him. They hoped for him to come. So what we need to think about is, we know about him. We know what he can do in our lives. Mark was just talking about, we see miracles in our lives. We see him moving. We need to think that God is a God of hope. When you see a light, you look for where it comes from. Jesus is that light. So we need to look to him while we wait. When you receive a gift, you see the person who gave it to you. Jesus gave himself as a gift. So we need to look to him. So don't, when you leave, just go and think, oh, I like my decoration, and let it go moldy on the mantelpiece, because that's not what it's about, okay? Remember when you go out that you are carrying a representation of Jesus' life and his light and the blessings of God and the love that God had for the world so much that he sent Jesus for us. And the most amazing thing that isn't represented in the Christingle is that Jesus left Holy Spirit when he went to heaven. And I'm adding this bit into the Christingle service because it's really, really important. I don't know what he'd be as a representative on here, but Holy Spirit was left so that we could be transformed. Jesus didn't go and leave us to fend for ourselves. He left and left us a better helper, another counselor, someone who could help us through our daily lives, help us see miracles, transform us from our mere selves to more and more like Jesus. So we can be so grateful for that element that isn't in the Christingle, which is Holy Spirit. So before we sing again, I just want to close in prayer. I also want to say thank you, guys. You've done some great jobs with your Christingle making. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Thank you for shining light into the dark places in this world. And Lord, thank you for blessing us that we too can be the light of the world if we know you as Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for coming and bringing hope and peace and joy and for the future of fullness of relationship with God. Thank you, Lord, that you came as a baby, but even more so that you lived your life perfect so that that special day, Good Friday, you died for us. So that every one of us who could turn to you, repent, and give our lives to you could live forever in eternity. And thank you, Lord, that when you rose again, you left Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is how we live more and more like you every day. Lord, we live waiting and expectant for your return. Help us bless those around us that we can shine your light in that time. Bless everyone in this room who's made their Christingle. May they take it out into the world, but more importantly, may they take you out in their hearts and shine Jesus' light wherever they go. Amen.